Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and we are just getting all of our little lines here uncrossed, and I think we have a team of people here on the line now. Okay. And we are talking again today about important issues. So, we'll start off with caller at 5765. What's the issue?
Well, politics is very much on my mind, and this Donald Trump phenomena, you might call it. It's amazing the stuff that comes out of his mouth, and I think that it's probably worse if he's being misunderstood than if he's saying exactly what he means or exactly what it sounds like, talking about that female moderator having her period and basically calling John McCain a punk, saying he doesn't like guys who get captured because in his mind that's like a business failure, getting captured. And his the language that he used in condemning the Mexicans and other Latinos to come across the border. I happen to agree with him on that issue. I think these people need to get the hell out of the United States. And however that has to be done, it needs to be done. You cannot have a country without being able to control the borders. That's what defines a country, an area with some kind of common government that has distinct borders that separate it from other countries. And the fact is, both parties are prepared to sell the country to the Latinos in exchange for votes. And I completely agree with him. Whatever needs to be done to get these people out of here, that's what needs to be done. I tell you what, you try to go to Mexico illegally and get a construction job, you'll find yourself in a roach, you know, infested prison. They wouldn't put up with that shit for a minute. Neither would these other countries where these people are coming from. And I don't blame them. They want to take back the territory that they lost in the Spanish-American War in the 1850s. When the United States won that war, which was essentially a war of aggression on the United States' part, because there was the original border of Texas was supposed to be along the San Antonio River, which is probably about 200 miles north of the Rio Grande, and the United States decided that wasn't enough, and they were going to make the border the Rio Grande. That's what started the war. Then when they won it, they took New Mexico, Arizona, Nevada, and California, and basically completely disenfranchised these people. They know that. And they're determined to take it back, and they don't give a damn about any white people, and of course they couldn't have less regard for black people. But in any case, I agree with them. You cannot have a country without discrete borders. But as far as what comes out of his mouth is concerned, this man is capable of starting World War III. If he doesn't have any more, if he's being misunderstood and saying stuff like that, as far as I'm concerned, that's worse than if he actually meant what he said, because it just shows that he has no control over his mouth. And other countries take, you know, a lot of statements made by the U.S. a lot more seriously than we take them. When Ronald Reagan announced that the Soviet Union was an evil empire, they took that as a tacit declaration of war, and they went on a wartime footing. And that's all just because of loose lips. It sounded good, so he said it, but they didn't take it very well at all. So it'll be real interesting to see what happens with Trump, but I don't think there's any way he's going to be able to beat Hillary Clinton. And I think this business about these emails is a total smokescreen. There's no, I mean, she's so far from any kind of criminal indictment over these emails. I mean, it's not even in the cards. And any there were no indiscretions, and if any of those are regarded as classified, it's in hindsight. They weren't regarded as classified when she was Secretary of State. It's incredible how much is being made of this, and this is just a typical Republican smokescreen, like what they do. You know, I remember when Al Gore was running for president, and I met these conservatives on a Promise Keepers, they called themselves. You don't hear about them anymore. They're on some flight to D.C., a whole plane full of them. And this guy is complaining to me about, you know, you think Al Gore is trustworthy? After all, he made some calls on a government telephone that should have been made in private. So this man is talking about, you know, $15 worth of phone calls, and meanwhile the Bushes are stealing billions, and the Bush son is involved in that big banking scandal in Colorado. And if he wasn't from the famous political family, he would have gone to jail. And this man is talking to me about somebody making a few phone calls out of the White House. That's typical of the way these people think. Something that he can grasp, you know, he can get his little brain around these phone calls. But the idea of somebody running a banking scam and stealing billions of dollars, that just totally goes over their heads. So they don't pay any attention to that. They look at the little stuff that their little brains can understand, and that's essentially what's happening with Hillary Clinton and these emails. So that's what I have to say.
Well said. I agree. I don't necessarily trust Hillary Clinton or anybody from the Republicans, to be very truthful, but well said. Everything you said was very valid. But I don't have the...
Thank you.
I mean, I still look at Hillary Clinton, and generally most of the candidates that represent the Democratic Party as being the lesser of two evils. And since I'm uncompromising when it comes to evil, evil is evil. So I'm not... I voted for Obama the last time. I got a chance to vote for an African... an American African that didn't have a slave name. That's what it meant to me. So, but I don't plan on voting for Hillary Clinton or anybody else anymore. My voting is strictly a symbolic gesture. But I agree with everything you said. The Republicans and the so-called conservatives.
Great. You have excellent judgment. Yeah, well, the idea of President Trump, I mean... I wonder if he would change Air Force One to Trump One. I mean, the guy is such an egomaniac, and like a lot of billionaires, he evaluates himself as a person, with regard to how much money he has compared to... any other person that he comes in contact with. So if your net worth is $200,000, as far as he's concerned, that means that he's worth 20,000 times more than you are as a human being. And it's obvious that he thinks that way. And, you know, he's always bragging about how much money he has. It's very entertaining, you know, and I would wish this country to have a President Trump, were it not for the fact that I happen to be living here. I think that he's a president these peckerwoods deserve.
You know what's so ironic about this whole situation is most American voters look upon the leaders or the people that they want to be leaders to be that way. They look upon people that rich and successful as being somebody that is capable of leading the country. By the same token, all of these people, these Republicans that are running, are trying to appeal to people on a level of their humble background, what their background is, how their family had to struggle and they, you know, this, that, and the other thing. They came from this very humble background, and in other words, we're just like you. So it's crazy.
Bullshit. You know, they do the same thing on news shows. If you watch the Today Show, you know, they come off like these newscasters, like they're you know, just basically normal people with normal interests and basically just like us. Matt Lauer, the head of the Today Show, he makes $15 million a year, if not more. All these people are multimillionaires. Al Roker has a net worth of in excess of $40 million. They're nothing like us. But that's the con game to pretend that they're just like us. I saw where there's like this big sex scandal in a New England prep school.
Yeah.
One of the most exclusive in the country. They say it costs $50,000 a year. This is to go to prep school, and some kid is accused of raping this girl who was going there, who I think was like 15, and he was 18 or something like that. $50,000 a year, and they started talking about the famous people who went to this school, among them John Kerry. And a number of other names of politicians, you know, people from political families or politicians from rich families. Politicians tend to come from rich families, you know. So there are a few, you know, Republicans who started out, you know, from humble beginnings. But most of these people came from rich families. That's why the Republicans to begin with, because their interests were united with the Republicans.
Well, let me, can I add something right quick?
Sure.
In reference to Black America, and that is my major concern, we have been trying to play this political game ever since Reconstruction. And evidently, we haven't learned the rules yet. And I'm an ex-gambler. And one thing I learned about gambling, if you don't know the game, if you don't know the rules, don't play the game. See, a crap player cannot be a card player unless you learn the rules of the game. So this game that we've been trying to play forever, we have not learned the rules. And at this stage of the game, we need to come up with a game that we know the rules or that we can make the rules and forget about that political arena. Cast your vote wherever it may be, but forget about the political arena on that national scale or on that level, because their rules change just like you play hopscotch. You know, if you play hopscotch with Bobby Jackson, you watch the girls play, it changes rules every day. Okay, Africans in America have fallen prey to this. We think that that is one of the elements that will help us arrive. If we haven't arrived yet by playing this game, we need to leave that game alone, because it has not been beneficial to us. They have always given us concessions from Reconstruction on back. And like I explained to one person the other day about Reconstruction, that was not a period for Africans who were ex-slaves. The Reconstruction Act was actually a prelude to states' rights and securing the Union for the benefit of economists. There was a man, he's deceased now, his name was Stetson Kennedy. I don't know if anybody know about him. He wrote a book years ago called How the South Won the War, talking about the Civil War. And in this book, he outlined everything associated with that whole period of time. Reconstruction was to reconstruct the South and to economically bind them together with the North. It had nothing to do with our enslavement. It had nothing to do with the so-called 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, which they came back and sideswept against us again. So we have not learned from those elements. And if you don't learn from your past, you're doomed to repeat the failures of your past. We need a black agenda that's going to solidify our people and educate our people in the healing process of understanding white supremacy and racism as a system of oppression. And you can't get that notion through with religious or political ideology. It ain't going to work. I don't care how much we try to decipher who done. I look at that stuff. I cannot stand over 5 minutes of any kind of political element on the news. I switch stations very quick because it's not going to benefit me one way or the other. Only thing I'm concerned about is the Supreme Court law that passed, which we still have no rights to, and the thing about what's going on in the judicial system. Other than that, they can can the political arena for me because it's not going to make a difference who wins. The President of the United States will never, ever put this country on an equal basis when it comes to race. They always talk about us having a discussion on race. That has been the biggest fallacy since George Washington stole the presidency. It has never happened. Abraham Lincoln didn't do it. Forget about him. The one that preceded him didn't do it. So we can't keep going backwards as a people and trying to figure out who's going to run the country and what crumbs that we're going to get off the table. Regardless of who wins, we're going to always get crumbs. Whether they're Democrats that win or whether they're Republicans that win, we always end up with the crumbs. So we need to switch that theoretical complex and try to understand how can we educate our children, you understand me, to not be indoctrinated to religious and political ideologies of white supremacy.
Amen. Very good point. So true.
Well, in my opinion, we're living in a political landscape. I don't think who becomes a president is irrelevant to black people. I don't think that we are excluded from social norms to the point where we're just a completely dislocated people in a country where we have no more rights than we had like in 1875. So I can understand how you'd feel that way, Brother Brown. When George W. Bush was elected, which he was elected by the fact that his brother Jeb,